May God bless you with His special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and our Lord, better and better. How are you going to get to know Him better and better? Ain't but one way, is there? Only way you can know God is in the Word. That's like that time when we went to Ireland. We're getting ready to leave that morning, and a man I had wanted to share with, but never had got to. He showed up the last morning, and I'm sitting there talking to him. I know this man's left his wife, didn't divorce her. He left her, found another woman that he liked better, so he just left his wife and children and moved in with another woman and had two or three more children with her, and he ain't never married this one, and he ain't never divorced this one. And I sat down there with him that morning. I knew all those things about him. I said, "Sir, do you know the Lord?" "Oh, yeah, I know God." I said, "How do you know Him?" "Well," he said, "I pray every day." I said, "How'd you get to know Him?" "Oh," he said, "I just know Him." I said, "You ever read the Word?" "No, I never read the Bible." "Never." I said, "You don't know Him." "Oh, yes, I do." I said, "No, you don't." I said, "Outside of knowing what's written in that book, you cannot know the King."
Amen.
I said, "There's no human being on this earth." Somebody says, "I know God." I said, "Well, how much of the Bible do you read?" "Well, I've never read it." I said, "You don't have a clue who God is." That's just like that lady on Descent going into Frankfurt a couple of weeks ago. Whenever this little hostess across the aisle from me and Cheryl, she said, after I asked her if she's a Christian, she said she was. She said, "What do you think about the earthquake in China?" I said, "It's a judgment from God." "Well, what do you think about the storms in Burma?" I said, "It's a judgment from God." I said, "All the things that are happening all around the world are judgments from God." And this lady right across the aisle from me, she turned around and looked at me. She said, "I don't believe that." I said, "Ma'am, the reason you don't believe that is because you don't read the book." I said, "If you read the book, you would know that God still brings judgment on people that are disobedient."
"Yes, sir."
She said, "Well, God would work with us." And she just got through saying that she was going to Germany to see her
significant other.
I didn't know what that was.
She wasn't married.
In other words, she's not married, and she's going to see her significant other, and she knows she's going to be in sin while she's over there, and she's going to see her significant other, but she has no idea that God would judge her for going to see her significant other.
Amen.
That she ain't married to.
Amen.
She has no idea. God says, "I hate adultery, and Amen. I will judge adultery. And those that commit those kind of things will not inherit the kingdom of God." She ain't never read that. "But I'm okay. God will work with me." I said, "No, He don't. He's already worked with us." And I said, "And you lost." That's right. I don't ever know that. You know, today you don't know, do you? You know, today you don't know. I mean, you know, if God wasn't merciful with what's going on in the world today, we would be wiped out. I mean, the world would be wiped out. But He is very merciful. Now, just think. If God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, which the intent of every man and woman there's heart was totally wicked, but He said, "If you can find me 10 righteous people in that town, I won't destroy the 100,000 in each city because of those 10 righteous." Is He a merciful God? Yes. So do we really have anything to worry about?
No.
Standing on Psalms 91? If we stand on Psalm 91 and He's a faith God, what did He promise in Psalm 91? In fact, I want to continue here. I want to finish this right quick since we just got a few minutes on this. I want to go verse 3 through 11, and that'll be the finish of my message today. 3 through 11, as we know Jesus better, now how do you get to know Him better? Study His Word. The only way in the world to get to know and understand who God is to know Him from the Word.
Amen.
I mean, if you don't read the Bible and learn who He is, you do not know God. As we know Jesus better, in other words, the more we read, we know Him better. As we know Him better, we learn that His divine power gives us what?
Everything.
Everything. Not some things.
Yeah,
everything we need for living a godly life. So what did he leave out for his children that love him?
Nothing.
That learn who he is?
Nothing.
He didn't leave out nothing. He didn't cut us short nowhere, did he?
Nope.
Not in a single place. He gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by that same mighty power, his power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises.
Amen.
Is that awesome or is that awesome?
Awesome?
It would be wonderful if God just gave, if God gave Cheryl and I just one promise, Matthew 18, 19, we wouldn't need nothing else, would we?
Right.
Is that right, Sharon?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You know, if he gave you and Deborah just that one promise, the two of you girls there, that's all you would need, right?
That's right.
What could you get done with Matthew 18, 19?
Oh,
nothing's impossible, right? I mean, I have seen God do awesome miracles with that verse. Awesome. And then I have men have the audacity to tell me that I misinterpret Matthew 18, 19. Isn't that something? I'm talking about PhDs from seminaries that have wrote me letters that, Mr. Scrivener, you are taking Matthew 18, 19 out of context. Well, I mean, you know, so what is the context? If I ask him to heal somebody, and he does, I ask him to take warts off of Philip's body, I ask him to take scars off, and it all happens. Which one of us took it out of context? Must have been somebody else. It wasn't me. Is that right? I mean, goodness gracious, I have no idea how many times Cheryl's used that verse. I have no idea how many times Sharon has used that verse. Rosemary's used that verse, and the rest of you, who knows? But I'm just talking about out here at the ministry center. I mean, look, we're here, Eldon and Nancy Eneldon, how many times they've used that verse to pray for people and seen God do awesome things.
Amen.
See, but how many of these promises did God give us as his children?
Oh.
Wow. And there's hundreds of them. There's not just one or two, is there? This is pretty awesome that he has given us all his rich and wonderful promises, and he has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. Ooh, don't you love that, Deborah? Absolutely. By knowing the promise, I'm claiming God's divine nature. In his divine nature, is there any sickness and disease? No. In his divine nature, do you have power over the devil?
Yes, sir.
Do you have power over sin?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that good news?
Amen.
So why should we fret, huh, girl?
No,
we have nothing to worry about, do we? Nothing whatsoever. Awesome. Verse 5 and 6. So make every effort, not a little bit of an effort, but make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. In other words, what's he trying to tell you? Use these promises. Stamp. Is that right? That's what he's saying, Ernest? Use these things. I mean, so that you can live this wonderful life that I've prepared for you here on this earth. He says, make every effort to apply the benefit of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence.
Amen.
A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better.
Amen.
Now, if we walk morally excellent, is the King going to reveal to us more things?
Yes, sir.
Oh, but if you're out there living in sin, I ain't going to give you much, is he, Ernest? He might give you a spanking. And we don't want that, do we? Yeah, we don't want that spanking. You know, we guarantee we don't want that spanking. When you learn these things, it'll straighten an old boy like you and me up, won't it, Ernest?
Yes, sir.
It'll straighten us up. We may be big old grown boy, but we're still children. And God's a whole lot bigger than you and me, isn't he?
Amen.
And we're going to straighten our act up because I want to live that moral life of excellence and I want to know him better. Because the better I know him, the more I can do through his name.
Yes.
Knowing God leads to self-control. Is that good news? Self-control leads to patience, endurance, patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Now, is that the goal, being like God? That's the goal. Verse 7 and 8. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. when you get to where you can love everybody, you're there. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. Now, is that the way God was? He was that kind of a man. He was that kind of love. It don't make no difference what I look like. You don't. When you look at me, you say, well, that's the ugliest guy I ever seen in my life. Well, you can love me just like that anyway. But the next person might look at me and say, that's the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life. You know, it's amazing that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? You know, I mean, Cheryl and I sat down here the other day, and there was a little lady. She was just looking at me. And I said, honey, is there something wrong? She looked at Cheryl and she said, your husband is the most handsome man I ever saw in my life. She knew how to touch my heart. You know that? Oh, Lord of mercy. Now, does a compliment hurt every once in a while? Oh, praise God. I said, bless you, honey. What can I do for you in the name of Jesus? Oh, goodness gracious alive, praise the King. Oh, isn't life wonderful?
Amen.
But the next woman might look at and say, him? Oh, I don't even want to look at him. Praise God. I said, it don't make any difference. I'm only trying to please one. This one sitting down here on the front row. She thinks I'm handsome, so praise God. The more you grow, when you get to where you can love everyone like this, it says the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you want to become productive for the King? You want to lead people into the kingdom? You want to see miracles? You want to see Him answer your prayer and get people healed and all kinds of wonderful things? Well, you got to walk in love, don't you? If you do that, you can become productive. Do you want to see the King answer your prayer out there on the job? When you're doing something, you want to be like that lady the other day that wrote me an email. She said, Mr. Scrivener, I listened to one of your teachings, and I thought about it a few years ago when I learned that God would do these kind of things. She said, I was trying to design a spreadsheet to do some work with. Oh, that was Betty. That was Betty. She's here today. She was trying to design a spreadsheet to do some bookkeeping work for a company she was working for, and she couldn't make those formulas work. And she went to bed that night and prayed and asked God, God, I got to know what those formulas are.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.